He does that to everybody else, but he doesn't like it when you do it to him. But we're going to keep doing it to him. Amen. Are you thankful for your pastor? I'm thankful for him. Hey, Thursday nights, last Thursday, we had Hector Santos, Prophet Hector. Awesome Thursday, right? How many of you were here for that? Wave at me. A lot of you. It was an awesome Thursday night. Tonight, I'm going to share something with you that I believe the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you. This coming Thursday, and you just heard it, and I don't know where she went. Where'd she go, Todd? But one of my favorite speakers, Cheryl Crossett, will be sharing. You'll be blessed. She'll share from her heart some life stuff that you'll be able to apply. And then the week after that, someone in my life who's become, I said today that he's my number two mentor. My number one mentor is my dad, but my number two mentor is Pastor Chris Ball. Fantastic man of God. I'm actually going to share a voicemail that he left for me. I believe it was last night. I was teaching the men's Bible study. He left a voicemail. I'll share that with you in just a second, but you don't want to miss the next 2 weeks. It'll be fantastic services. Amen? So that's your service announcement. I want to talk to you tonight about a very simple subject, but I think it's complex in many ways. I think that when we start talking about dreams, when we start talking about visions, that song, Give Me Vision to See Just Like You Do. That's why I love that song, because you need a vision, you need a dream, you need an idea of where you're going for 2019. And I'm going to tell you, there is more people in the room than not that have not written a dream, a vision, a plan down for 2019. And let me just drop this seed into your heart, into your spirit. If you're going to take any notes, take this note. You need to do it. You need to write something down because, and I'm going to get into it here in a minute, but you need to get something down on paper. And I'll be honest with you, it's been fairly easy for me growing up because I've had such great men of God in my life that have literally held my feet to the fire as far as goals, dreams, and really telling me, you can do it. And my dad, when we were kids, he's told you the story before. We weren't allowed to use, Aaron shared Monday night at Elam Bible College. She said, by the way, she did fantastic there. Was it Monday night? Tuesday night. And she said this. She goes, I won't let the kids say I can't and dance. Well, the reason she won't let the kids say I can't and dance is because someone who spoke into her life, being my father, wouldn't let her say I can't. Because I remember a time where she said I can't, I can't, I can't all the time. All the time. And you need someone in your life, Paul, if you'll get that ready for me. You need people, not just one, not just two. You need people in your life that'll tell you, Bob, you're going to be okay. You're going to make it. You're going to get to the other side and quit saying, I can't. You need those people in your life. I just want to play this short voicemail of a mentor in my life, Pastor Chris Ball from Elam Fellowship. He's a bishop. There's almost 2,000 ministries that he's overseeing. Check this voicemail out. You'll like to hear this. Go ahead.
Hey, Ryan, I was just sitting here thinking about
turn it up a little.
Planning to go to Mexico tomorrow, as you know. I just wanted to say how much I appreciate you. You're going to be great in life. Totally anticipating amazing things to come. Period. I just really want you to know also that I heard from my friend Stacy Klein that Pastor Aaron did an amazing job last night. Knocked it out of the park. So please extend that feedback. I just think it's amazing, and I'm looking forward to hearing the talk. I'll go online and see if I can get it. Good to see you today. Love you, man. And just wanted to say how much I appreciate you. Take care.
I
was just sitting here thinking about you.
My mentors are big dreamers. And can I just be real open with you? I want to be more transparent this year. I want to be real honest with you. I have a tough time with people that tell me that I can't do something. I'm not talking about things that'll hurt me and harm me and that are detrimental to my life. I'm talking about things, dreams that I have, goals that I have, visions that I have that people tell me, hey, that can't be done. And I'm going to tell you, I'll be 100% honest, and those of you that know me very closely, I will literally disconnect from those type of people. I will cut them right out of my life. I know I'm not perfect. I know that you might see a problem with that. You could give me a scripture later. But there are people who are haters that will tell you why you can't be something. And that's tough because that's a hope killer. That's a dream killer. And I want to testify to someone in the room. If you don't have four or five men, if you're a man, in your life telling you who you can be and what you can do and giving you hope for tomorrow, like that voicemail, he didn't owe me that. He's headed to Mexico to speak to a church of nearly 7,000 people, and he picks the phone up and calls little Ryan in Batavia. You need four or five men, and if you're a woman in the room, you need four or five women in your life that you really know that they're a positive influence, they're a positive voice into your life, and I encourage you to write that down as one of them goals. Will you do that? Amen. You can do all things. You can accomplish God, family, church, business. I want to tell you, I want to be the person to tell you tonight that you can accomplish every dream in your heart and in your life. Do you receive that? And I want to read this to you, and you've heard it before, but I want to speak this into you again in the New Living Translation. Hebrews 11 says, faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. I want to say that one more time, and then I'm going to say it in another version that I've heard spoke over and over and over, and it's just programmed in my spirit. But the New Living Translation says, faith is the confidence that what we hope for, say hope for, will actually happen. And the New King James will say something to this effect. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it's the evidence of things unseen. And I want to jump, and it's tempting for me really to jump all over that, but I want to jump now. I want you to go to Genesis 17:9, and it was cool because Monday we went to a pastor's meeting. There was 75 pastors there, so my father spoke, and he began to speak on this very scripture, so I knew it was a God thing. And so I'm going to read this to you. If you don't have your Bible with me, I encourage your mind to follow me, because if you don't retain what I'm about to read, it's going to be tough for you to follow me tonight, okay? Then God said to Abraham, your responsibility is to obey the terms of the covenant. Boy, that sounds fun, doesn't it? You and all your descendants have this continual responsibility. This is a covenant that you and your descendants must keep. Each male among you must be circumcised. You must cut off the flesh of your foreskin as a sign of the covenant between me and you, between Abraham and God. For generation to generation, every male must be circumcised on the eighth day after his birth. This applies not only to the members of your family, but also to the servants born in your house that you've purchased. All must be circumcised. Your bodies will bear the mark of an everlasting covenant. I love that. Any male who fails to be circumcised will be cut off from the covenant family for breaking this covenant. Okay, you with me? Then God says to Abraham this regarding Sarai. Your wife, her name will no longer be called Sarai, for now her name will be called Sarah, and I will bless her and give you a son from her. Yes, I will bless her richly. And I will bless her and give her a son from her. And yes, I will bless her richly, and she will become the mother of many nations. King of nations will be among her descendants. Then Abraham bowed down to the ground. He's having this conversation with God. He bows down to the ground, but he laughs at God. Can you imagine that? God begins to give him this promise. God begins to give him this word. He's bowed down to the ground praying. But he's not taking it very seriously, is he? He laughs at God in disbelief. He doesn't believe God. He said, how could I become a father at the age of 100, he thought. And how can Sarah have a baby when she is 90 years old? So Abraham said to God, may Ishmael live under your special blessing. But God replied to him, no, Sarah, your wife, will give you birth to a son, and you will name him Isaac, and I will confirm my covenant with him, and his descendants will have an everlasting covenant. Okay, I will. Your other son, I'll bless him also because you asked. I'll make him extremely fruitful and multiply his descendants. He'll become a father of 12 princes, and I'll make him a great nation. But my covenant will be confirmed with Isaac, who will be born to you and Sarah about this time next year. When God had finished speaking, he left Abraham. And this is what I want to talk to you about tonight. And I just want to speak life into your heart and your spirit tonight and tell you, you might have laughed at what God had promised you. You might think to yourself, Ryan, you don't know my background. You don't know my family origin. I'm adopted. I'm so messed up. I have this issue. I have that issue. When God speaks to me, it's almost laughable because I just can't see it with my own eyes. And this is what you're saying to yourself. I don't have hope for tomorrow. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you tonight that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We pray tonight, Father, that your Holy Spirit would rest on this house and that you'll give us fresh revelation from heaven. Do your will in this house tonight. Bring hope and dreams back to a heart. Bring vision, Father, tonight. In Jesus' name, would you say amen? Here's what Hebrews 11 is saying, and this is for the new year. Read the verse again. There's so much about faith in there. It goes on and on and on, and I know I've heard this scripture. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. Faith is an important thing. It's a wonderful thing, but let me just give you this to contemplate. Hope is the star of the text. Faith is a supporting actor. Here's why. Let me give you this. If you don't have hope for the dream, then the faith has no job. So the point is the Bible says faith is the substance. So what it means is I'm going to put a seed in the ground of hope. I'm going to plant the seed of hope in the ground, and then boom, this plant, this bush, this tree of faith is going to come out of the ground. Are you with me? So you have to hope. And I see people all around me, and I'm very transparent. I see people all around me settling for something less than what God promised them. And I think it's a cultural thing. I think that we're programmed to settle for less because it's kind of a tranquilizer for our acceptance about where we are. Hello. It's easier just to say, well, my dream is XYZ because all it is one step from here to there. But if your dream is so big that it's from here to the other side of Buffalo and you describe that to a person, what will they think? What will they think about who I am? What will they think about where I am? What will they think about the situation that I'm in today? I'm so far from that dream. Let me tranquilize the hope in my life. So it seems easier. I wish you'd at least act like you know what I'm talking about tonight. Just look at me in some kind of way tonight. So I think that culturally, I think that we're taught that, hey, you know, just take it easy on your dreaming. If you have nothing in front of you or no dream or no hope for tomorrow, if you're just going through the motions, your life is just routine. It's hard to even listen to what I'm saying tonight. The people who really listen and really engage in these type of services. And I'll tell you, I engage. If I'm not communicating, I listen. I want the Word of God in my life. But I'll tell you why it's hard for some people. If you don't have a dream, listening to the faith that is spoken without the hope is hard. Have you ever been there? Just wave at me. I didn't come to church tonight. I don't come to church on Sunday to look pretty, for you to validate who I am. I don't come to look important. I come here because I'm trying to feed this faith within me. I'm feeding my dream. I'm feeding my faith. I need a word to anchor me in my dream. We have tons of teaching on faith. I've been around it all my life. I've been in church all my life. I've heard every sermon there is. Let me make this example in a court case. And unfortunately, I've been involved in a couple. In a court case, when you go in and you get in trouble, I got some of your attention now all of a sudden. In a court case, when you get charged or there's a lawsuit or there's some sort of a engagement in a court case, what happens is the attorneys get together and they try to make a settlement. They try to settle the case. Do you know what I'm talking about? They try to settle, you give me this and I'll give you that. And instead of taking the course, instead of taking the whole ride, if you may, all the way through a trial, all the way through the hearing and all the way through all these, this process that we have to take when we're in this court case, two people get together and we try to settle it. I think that the same thing happens in life. That we begin to go down this road of this process, and all of a sudden we get against a little bit of resistance, and what do? We settle. And I just want to speak against that tonight. There's certain times that you've heard or you've seen that a person say on a movie, the movie The Rundown, right? We watch that movie. Is that what it's called, where the guy goes into this town and the timber, the mill, and all that? What's it called? Walking Tall, right? The movie Walking Tall, and the guy goes, no, I won't. He looks at the attorney and says, I will not settle. I was not wrong. I didn't do anything wrong. And it takes sometimes the principle of what you're going toward, it takes principle to say, I'm not settling for that thing. I'm not settling for where I am. I'm not setting the goal here, so it's just easy for me to, I obtained it. I settled. Principle will take you all the way through the goal. And I'm gonna take it a step further. Persistency will take you all the way through. I refuse to settle. I refuse to settle. I refuse to settle in my life. I refuse to settle for second best. I refuse to settle for what less than what God has promised me. And I'll tell you what, if you get around the right people, they won't let you settle either. That's why I was talking about mentors, having the right people, being around the right people, being exposed to the right kind of people. Because the wrong kind of people just tell you, don't go to Wednesday night Bible study. Don't go to Thursday night. You don't really need that. Come along. You'll get around the wrong people that'll create this settling type of faith within you that, hey, you've gone far enough. How many of you ever seen a Christian go so far and then totally bail off the end of the road? Hello? Hello? They settled. They only got so far. They had further to go. The dream was bigger. But for whatever reason, they settled at the wrong time. Don't settle. Don't settle for just a little bit of wisdom. Don't settle just for a little bit of education. Don't settle for the wrong spouse. I see people. The first person they talk to, I'm going to do this. I know I'm not going to get one amen up in this place. It's okay. I'm going to preach on it anyway. I'm going to knock down Hell's Gate. Don't settle. Make sure that it's God's plan, it's God's purpose for your life. Because today it's easy to settle. You get 10 years down the road, can I get some help in here? You get 10 years down the road and you settled for the wrong thing, it's a whole lot harder to take it to the right place after 10 years.
Amen.
My mom says amen. And God can, let me just say this. God makes, he makes all things new. He'll work all things for the good. But there is better. There is a better. Amen. Amen. Don't settle. Don't settle. Move. 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 Move forward. I love to run with people who won't take no for an answer. I love to run with people that refuse to settle. That's why I love being around Chris Paul. He walks into an organization, and the truth of the matter is, he wouldn't mind me sharing this, they're in trouble. They got issues. They got 2,000 churches, and they got issues all over the place. And he goes, yeah, I'll take the job. I'll take the job, because he has a mentality that says, I'm going forward, I'm not going back. I know this thing's a wreck, and I know it's got some issues, and I know it's got some problems, and I know it's a little heavier than I'd like, it's a little lighter than I'd like, it's a little weaker than I'd like, it's a little stronger than I'd like. I know there's problems, but I won't settle for where it's at. I love being around people like that. Todd and Cheryl Crossley, when I was writing this message, every time I get around them, I go a little higher. I feel a little better. I'm encouraged a little bit more. Susie Gagne, she's one of those people. If you know her, you get around her, you have to smile, or she'll just stare at you. She'll just look you in the face and tell you, you're going to smile or I'm not going to walk away. I want people like that in my life. I want to be exposed to people like that. I don't want to settle. I'll give you one more of my, this is pretty intimate to me. When I first started our business in real estate, most of you know we operate a business in real estate, and one of the first properties that we were looking at, I was thinking to myself, I was this young boy, and I was thinking to myself, I want this staple property, right? I'm looking at these huge buildings with these beautiful fronts and all this, you know, because I wanted to make a point. I wanted to make a staple. I wanted to have a trophy to go, man, I own that thing. I worked that thing. I made that thing happen. And here's what happened. This is the way a dream comes alive. And if you'll get this, if you'll download it in your heart's hard drive, you'll gain something for this. I go to the banker and I say to the banker, Mr. Banker, I want to buy this building over here. And he looks at me and he goes, dude, you ain't buying that. You crazy? We're not going to give you the money for that. But here's what we will do. We're not going to give you that Y money, but we'll give you this X money. Buy the property. And don't get me wrong. I still own the first property I ever bought. I still own it to this day. It's been a good property. It's been an excellent money maker for me. It's been steady Eddie. But listen to this. Don't settle for something that was just supposed to encourage you. You don't want to hear it tonight. Don't settle for something that was just sent to feed you. Landmarks. We need landmark moments. And we go down the road 18 years later. And those buildings that I wanted to buy, that I was asking God, and we stayed steady, we stayed consistent. I could tell you 100 stories about this place, about the YWCA, about St. Anthony. Just staying steady, just doing the right thing at sometimes the wrong moment, doing the right thing, and all of a sudden that dream begins to come alive. But don't settle for something that was supposed to encourage, and just encourage you. At this point, I want to pick up Genesis 17. We've talked about Hebrews 11. God comes to Abram because Abram wants to settle. He loves God. He's a man of God. He's loved by God. He loves God. He says, I love you, God, but I got to tell you, this is what he does. What? What are you going to do? He says, God, this is taking way too long. This is way too tough. There's way too many opposition. I just want to settle. Just let me. I'm 89 years old. Just let me settle. He says, maybe I misunderstood you. Maybe I'm not smart enough or established enough or stable enough. Maybe I don't have what it takes. Maybe. People who settle, if you're writing something down, people who settle always have a maybe. Maybe is how you tranquilize your hope. Because people don't want to deal with the pain of having not obtained. So you move the goal to line up to where you are. Oh, I'm fine. Remember the dream you told me 5 years ago? Remember the dream you had, XYZ? Let me use your name. Remember the dream you had, Patty, that you told me about? Yeah, but I'm pretty happy with this. Maybe this was what I was supposed to have, tranquilize. Maybe God forgot. Maybe I'm not holy enough. Maybe I'm not clean. Maybe I'm not smart enough. Maybe tranquilize. It's good. People don't want to deal with the pain of having not obtained. Moving the goal to line up to where you are is not what you should be doing. I wrote down four quick notes, and I'm going to fly through this. I'm going to be done in 10 minutes. Four quick notes on how to help your dream come to pass. Wave at me if you want them. Number one, covenant comes before circumcision. God gives Abraham the covenant before the circumcision. The circumcision represents cutting away the filth of the flesh. It means to cut away what is not productive. If you're going to move forward in everything God has for you, you're going to have to move away from everything that's not helping you. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to move through this quick. I got a ton of notes, but I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to Ryanize it right up and make it fast. There's something in your house, and I don't mean your physical house. I mean the house of your being. There's something within you that you know that's not right. You know it. And maybe I hope that's not the case. But I think every person in the room, the covenant, the promise from God hinges on this very one thing: circumcision. Getting rid of, say it, sin. Are you with me? If you want your dream to come to pass, you'll have to cut away the filth of your life. People don't preach this. People don't talk about this. Pastors don't talk about this. You know why? Because they don't want to cut away the filth. I'm sorry, but the circumcision is part of the process. Do you have a covenant? My question for you, if you are born again in this house, if you are a blood-bought Christian, if you've prayed the prayer of faith, Jesus, come and live inside of me, you have a promise from heaven. The only way you engage it is to cut away the filth. Say amen. Number two, you ready for it? When your name changes, your game has to change with it. Or your identity has to change. This kid that I met on Tuesday night, great kid, comes up to me last Saturday. He says, you know what, Ryan? I know my place. I know what I'm supposed to do. And I love when kids start telling me that. This kid's, there's no rougher background than this kid. There's not a person in this room that has a rougher background than this young man has. He says to me, I know what God has for me. I know what he wants for me. This was my challenge for him. He comes in on Tuesday night. He's Slick Willie. He knows what to say, when to say it. His name has changed. The problem is his game hasn't changed. I'm friends with him on Facebook. And I said, hey, dude, let me ask you a question. You know that video that you just shot? You got a bottle of Hennessy in your hand, and you're doing dances like this, and you're making it all happen, and you have no idea who this kid is, so don't even identify it with somebody. He's got a bottle of Hennessy in his hand. I said, dude, your identity is one thing, and your name is something else. Hello. He wants to be something that he's not putting out there. Let me make it simpler for you. Let me take it a little bit further. You want to be a classy woman, but you look like a hussy. Okay? You're not putting something out there that you want to be. You want to be a father. That's my baby mama over there. That ain't your baby mama. That's the mother of your child. My identity has to change when my name changes. Hallelujah. Number two, I should look like everything I put out there. Everything I put out there, you call me a pastor. I'll just make it me. We just had an ordination service. You know the toughest part of it? That title, that's the easiest part of it. Oh, he's Pastor Ryan. That's the easiest part of it. I walk into that taco place. This guy starts cussing me out. I have no idea what for. You know what I want to do? I want to take the title and just set it down and knock the guy's head off. I'm just being honest with you. I really want to go all the way with the guy. You know what I did? The Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you. Got up and walked out and said, God, I want my identity to match what my name is. And you have that choice every day. Lord, help us to make our identity match what you have called us. Valentine's Day is coming up, men. You want a better marriage? You want a better sex life? You want a better home? You better step up your game. You better be the husband that you want your household to be. You won't have to tell anybody you're the man of the house if you start taking care of it. You start taking care of your business. You start taking, this is my house. This is my bit. You start taking care of it the way you should. You won't have to tell anybody who you are. You'll be that. Hello. Number three, say number three. The third thing that I pulled out of this scripture is be careful of your connections. I like them pictures. Do you? When you buy into something, everyone you're connected with needs to buy into the same thing. God said, if you buy a son, if he's not even born of you, if he's not even of you, if you go and pay somebody $20 for him and he comes to live in your house, if he's inside your house, he better look like you, he better talk like you, he better have your walk, he better have your walk. Everything you're connected with needs to match up with you, with your identity. You know what? Can I talk about you, Todd? I'm connected to Todd. He's my friend. But if I make Todd look bad, I don't blame him if he cuts me out. Because he can't hang with somebody who's not living the way they should be living. Your connections matter. And you won't get the kind of connections that you want acting like an idiot. Connections matter. And let me take it a step further. It's not just relational connections. It's mental connection. Have you ever been connected to somebody that was good to you and had someone that was outside of your circle tell you how bad they were? My father has been good to me. You know how many men have tried to give me a little slant on who he is to me? Have you ever had somebody do that? Oh, that's... I love Steve. I love the connection I have with him. Oh, you know about this, Steve. You know, he's just trying to hold you back. You know, he doesn't really have your best interest in mind. When that conversation happens, that's a bad connection. I know it's a little touchy. It's okay. It's okay. Connections matter. My dad says don't forget it either. Let me take it a step further. You don't have the energy to get where you're going because you're spending all your energy fighting people you're connected to. People ask me, how are you a pastor? How do you run your business? How do you help on Tuesday? How are you? Let me tell you how you do a lot in life. Everything you're connected to is interconnected, okay? On Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday to Sunday, there's one commonality with everything I do. You want to know what it is? It's communication. I go from day to day, from thing to thing. And if you'll catch this, it'll help you. If you're trying to, you might have a ton of great ideas. But if you're connected to something that's not interconnected with where your being is going, it's a distraction. Some of the deck over your head or Abraham, I'm moving to point four and I'm done. Abraham is 86, Sarah's 99. All of the time, God has not done it, and he gets mad, and I get mad because I'm 35 and he hasn't done it. Anybody like me? Abraham is 86 and 9, and Sarah's 99, and watch this. He laughs at God when God says, you're going to birth a son. He laughs, listen to this. He laughs because he sees his situation is something that can't change. Do you remember my last message about the widow? What did she say? I have nothing. It's the same exact thing that Abraham says. God can't do that. Here's number four. Here's point four. Your circumstances don't matter to God. You could be in the worst possible circumstance. I know some of you are in bad circumstances. I know some of you, your butt is against the wall. I know some of you that are in decent circumstances and you think it's the end of the world. Circumstances don't matter to God. This is what God says. He says to Abraham, he said, hey, dude, listen, you laughed at me. He engages Abraham on the sin of basically, he's mocking God. Am I right? He engages him. He says, dude, you forget who you're talking to? I am who I am. At any moment, and here's the hinge. Here's the hinge. At any moment, as your heart changes, your circumstances do. In God, circumstances don't matter. Even if you weren't born into the right family. You know, in high school, and I'm not saying this to brag. I hope that I'm giving you hope tonight. In high school, I barely graduated. 65 average. I swear my mom paid the teacher off. The only reason I graduated, this is the God's honest truth. The only reason I graduated is because my mom beat the heck out of that administration office and every teacher that I had. 65, I graduated. Let me tell you something. There is not one person, I hope you're listening to me right now. There is not one person that I graduated that has achieved the success I have. Here's why. Because to God, circumstances don't matter. Had nothing to do with me. Had nothing to do with me. Had absolutely nothing. What I have has absolutely nothing to do with me. To God, circumstances don't matter. If you receive the word, stand tonight. Circumcise us, O Lord. Cut away the things of the flesh. Lord, as you've changed our name, Father, we pray in Jesus' name that our identity begins to line up with it. Father, connect us with the right people. For this house, Father, send the right people and be gone with the wrong ones. And Father, we thank you that circumstances have nothing to do with where we're going. But you have everything to do with where we're going. If you identify with this and you need this word in your life, just lift your hand right now. Receive the word of the Lord in this place. Father, in Jesus' name, you see every hand. You know every heart in this house. You know the struggles. You know the problems. You know the people. You know the game. You know, Father, the one that lost hope. All hope is gone. But they walked into your house tonight receiving, Father, bread from heaven. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that hope of heaven would be our portion. Father, we thank you that you're doing something new within us, something new in this house. Father, we thank you that we're not nearly the church that we will be. We're thankful, Father, we're so thankful for where you've brought us and what you've done and everything that you've done in this place. But Father, we receive in the name of Jesus that we're not nearly the people that we will be. Let hope arise and let your enemies be gone. We thank you for it. We give you praise tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus. Would you say amen? Would you give my dad a hand as he comes?
Thank you, Lord. Just want to open up. You got me on? I just want to open up the altar before you leave tonight. Brother Chuck, come down. Ryan, come down. Sam, come down. Stand next to your husband. Chuck, come on down here. If you have a dream that's you just feel like it's stalled out on you, I want you to come down before you leave tonight. Let them pray over you. Something that I just want to say. Don't get weary and lose hope in the time frame that you want what you want to happen. God takes the process of our lives and he does something beautiful in that time frame. Learn to manage your feelings and enjoy the process. Lord, I thank you tonight for your love. Thank you for sending your servant here to declare your word, God. I pray your favor and blessing over every single life. Lord, let us dream bigger. Let us go, Lord, further this year than we ever thought possible. And we give you thanks and praise for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. I love you. You need prayer. Just want somebody to agree with you, even if it's not pertaining to a dream. You need prayer for something, come down. Let these folks pray over you. God bless you. I love you.